Coming up this week, we have got which diet is the best? Is it paleo? Is it Mediterranean? Is it something else? We shall be looking at that in detail a bit later on. News for this week. We shall also be taking a little peek behind the scenes of serial killers. And we shall be answering some of your most heartfelt questions. Just what are the health benefits for dark chocolate? All that and more in the Low Carb Paleo Show. Hello again and welcome back to the Low Carb Paleo Show. I'm joined in the studio today with my co-host, Alan Bro. Hello, Alan.
Good morning, Mark, and good morning, everyone else. How's everyone?
Wonderful, wonderful. So, Alan, what have we got lined up from your side today? Just give us a sneak peek.
Well, I thought I would talk about the health benefits of dark chocolate this time. I know it's been maligned for the past years, but I think the most people that criticize chocolate are focusing on the wrong kind of chocolate. So we'll talk about this and the actual benefits of eating dark chocolate.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, first on with the news. I don't know if you've been seeing what's been going on around the web the last few days, maybe a week or two. There is the claim from both the Mediterranean and the paleo, low carb and low fat, and all the other diet proponents that their diet is the best. So when everything's added up, which diet is the best? Well, research by David Clance, MD, director of the Yale University Prevention Research Center, has reviewed hundreds, and I mean hundreds of studies on diets, including low carb, low fat, Mediterranean, vegetarian, vegan, low glycemic, and paleo, and all of the others. But specifically, looking at how they deal with obesity and chronic conditions like heart disease and diabetes. And he found that no one diet resulted in significantly better overall health, although some diets did treat specific conditions better than others. He did find out that the diets associated with the lower rates of heart disease, diabetes, and the neurodegenerative diseases had three things in common. Firstly, they limited processed foods, they were rich in plant-based foods, and any animal products in the diets were themselves those that ate plants entirely. Alan, have you got a take on that?
Well, I find this whole diet discussion very interesting in the sense that I personally believe, because I've worked with people one-on-one, I believe that everyone has a different body type, everyone has different beliefs, and everyone knows their body best. So I try to work with clients and trying to find out how their own specific personal body, not the neighbors, not the guy next door, how they react to certain foods, because I typically work with a lot of people with food allergies. And based on that, I designed a diet that could be either more vegetarian or more paleo. If I feel they need to eat more proteins, then I would tend to recommend more of a paleo style diet. If I believe that they, I do a little detective work, find out that they're eating the wrong quality of products, and I would focus more on the quality. So diet, I don't believe that putting diets in specific boxes is a good idea. In general, as a personal belief, I believe that one's diet should be balanced, that it should be containing everything in the food realm. Not just focus on only on vegetables or too much on protein or eliminate a whole kind of food just because, unless you really strongly believe. I do realize that vegan, for example, refuse to eat animal products because it harms, damages the animals itself, kills the animals and so on. But that's a belief-based diet. It's not necessarily a diet based on one's need, as you know, how to feed your body. But that said, we are omnivores, and I believe that very strongly. Mm-hmm. And I believe strongly we should all eat a balanced diet, a little bit of everything, but in smaller amounts and the best quality we can afford.
Mm.
That's the way I think about it.
Yeah, that would make sense to me.
based on what I just said, I typically don't focus too much on all this research, because within a week or 3 months,
something else will come up
and completely contradict what this one said. So it's like, no need to waste time. That's why I prefer to work one-on-one instead of trying to offer blanket diets that typically long-term do not work, because if you don't take into account personal needs from that particular client, you have to be also a little bit of a psychologist besides being a detective, because a lot of the food issues are emotional issues. And that's a difficult one to treat. I mean, you can't tell a client you can't never eat emotionally, and yet we all do to a certain extent. And that's why a lot of people eat a lot of sweets and a lot of, because that's what makes them feel good.
Excellent. Okay, moving on. On to today's reviews. This week, we're looking at the film Serial Killers. So what is Serial Killers all about then? Well, it's really the story of one man's attempt to hack his genes, avoid heart disease and diabetes, and drop dead healthy. The man in question is actually Donald O'Neill. At this time, Donald was a fit 38-year-old. Little did he know he was going to spend the next 3 years trying to understand how a trim ex-sportsman, whose only vice was one cigar a month and pruning bushes, could have a heart attack. That particular sportsman was his father. He'd also come to understand how his younger brother, who was a sporting icon, could develop type 2 diabetes. The thing that most disturbed Donald was the fact that he learned we had all been misled, and that basically infuriated him and then motivated him to try and share with us what he had learnt through all the research that went up to making this film. As he said, he started to scratch at the surface, then he started to dig a bit, and then he got hooked. In fact, to the point where things like the American Journal of Nutrition became his bedtime reading. As he says, somewhere along the way, I decided that health is a bit like politics. You choose a party or a diet, and then you stick with them because they work for you, and you defend that position vigorously, just like I did. Basically, Donald and all the people who helped him to make the film rolled up everything they knew about diet and exercise, metabolic health, and threw it all out the window. What came out of that research was the film Serial Killers, which is a real eye-opener for virtually everybody who watches it. Now, you may or may not know that Serial Killers is actually out already, and there are plenty of places you can see it, but the easiest place to see it is to go online. If you go on to serialkillersmovie.com, you will see two or three different ways that you can have it. You can rent it or you can buy it. To rent it, it's $4.99. To buy it, it's $14.99. That's dollars, of course. But today, we're going to give two lucky guests the chance to see it for free. Just write in and tell me who the star of the film was, and we'll draw out the two winners. The first two out the hat will be the ones who get the ticket, and we'll mention your names again on the program next week. So write in, usual address, feedback@lowcarbmag.com, or you can catch us at the Low Carb Paleo Show Facebook page, which is simply lowcarbpaleoshow.com, and that'll take you straight through. So that's everything about the film that we're going to be looking at this week. On to our main topic of the week, which is, again, over to Alan. Alan, you're going to tell us about the precise reasons for the health benefits of chocolate, aren't you? Well, I hope you are.
Well, precise is a big word. And I'm a big boy, but I don't use big words, so I can list a few benefits of dark chocolates. One thing I'd like to start with is to make sure we're clear on what constitutes dark chocolate. Mm. In my opinion, as a chef and ex chocolate maker or chocolate candy maker, and as a nutritionist, you should not eat chocolate that has less than 70% dark cocoa content. Sometimes it's called cocoa liquor content. It's not an alcohol, it's just the way it's called in the industry. Mm-hmm. So 70% for me is my bottom line, and you can go higher to 80, 85, 90%. the higher the number will be, the more bitter it will be, and also the more healthy it will be for you. So I'll let you decide what's your limit on that one. My limit is about 70, 75, and above that it's too bitter. The reason you don't want lower than that, because you're falling into candies, and that could typically contain too much sugar and or the wrong kind of fat, and also most of them also contain milk.
Oh, right.
Now milk in itself is not bad, it's just that if you want to get the benefits from the dark chocolate, you need to avoid any additional ingredients in your chocolate. And that's why I prefer typically European chocolate, because they tend to be much more refined, higher quality ingredients, smoother to the taste, all around just great to eat. They're not grainy as your average typical American chocolate will be. They are refined for a longer time, which tends to break down the chocolate molecules to very, very fine and very melty. As far as the benefits, dark chocolate is good for your heart. It contains flavanols, which increase your nitric oxide amounts in your blood, which helps with blood flow. So it helps you to keep your arteries clean from deposits. It also, the nitric oxide helps keep your blood vessel flexible and supple, so that they can contract with the blood flow. You
All
know,
right.
as you know, your heart is a pump, so in order to work properly, it cannot be clogged up with all sorts of bad fats and everything. So speaking about fat, good quality chocolate contains a good quality fat. It's cocoa butter, which is, although it is a saturated fat, some people will scream murder at saturated fat. I completely disagree with that. Cocoa butter is somewhat similar to coconut oil and olive oil, because it contains oleic acid, stearic acid, and palmitic acid. All of these are good quality fats, and they're highly recommended, especially on the paleo diet.
Excellent.
Another benefits of dark chocolate is actually contains a higher amount of antioxidants than berries, for example, which typically berries are thought to be the high content. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still eat my berries every week, or actually almost every night, but I always add my square of dark chocolate as a dessert. Antioxidants are good because they will fight and kill free radicals. You know how bad those free radicals are,
Aye, they are, yeah.
and I'm not talking about politics here. So you want to, free radicals is a natural side effect of your body basically burning the nutrients in your body. So you want to avoid free radicals, or you want to actually add the kind of food that will fight off free radicals, because eventually free radicals will damage your cells, which could turn cancerous. So another good advantage of antioxidants. Going back to the blood flow and everything, chocolate, dark chocolate is good for your brain as well, because as I found out last week, a good friend of mine unfortunately had aneurysm, and that is caused by lack of blood flow to the brain and a clot, basically a blood clot. So the again, the flavonoids in the dark chocolate will keep your blood smooth and avoid blood clots. So it's also good for your brain health, in that sense that it keeps the blood flowing to your brain. Chocolate is also good for your mood. Believe it or not, it contains the same chemicals as when you're falling in love. Don't we all want to fall in love all the time, right?
I don't know. Chocolate's cheaper.
So if you cannot find the love of your life, then get a square of chocolate every night, and that should take care of that.
Okay.
That particular chemical is called PEA. It's one of those fancy words: phenyl ethyl amine, and it's similar to endorphins, which makes you feel good. Dark chocolate is also good for your diabetes, or to prevent diabetes, because it controls the sugar content. The flavonoids also control the sugar content and blood sugar levels in your blood. So again, if you stay away from lower quality chocolate that typically contain a lot of sugar, dark chocolate would actually be good for your diabetes.
Oh, right. Excellent.
The main component of dark chocolate, which is called theobromine, helps keep your teeth healthy and keeps your enamel hard. So as long as, again, as you don't have too much sugar in your chocolate, dark chocolate is actually very good for your teeth as well.
Yeah.
It's loaded with fiber, potassium, copper, magnesium, and iron. And one thing I like to say is that the dark side of chocolate is good for you, but the light side of chocolate is bad for you.
That's full of sugar, isn't it? The lighter chocolate.
Yeah. So the dark chocolate is good, and the light. So it's referring to the dark side, you know, of the moon, or dark side of the Star Wars. You know, going on the dark side.
We've got to go on the dark side, have we?
Yeah.
That sounds good. Yes. There's got to be a sort of "May the something be with you" coming out there from somewhere.
Yeah, may the dark chocolate be with you. How's that?
That's it, something like that. I'll tell you what, for everyone listening, if you can come up with a better "may the something of chocolate be with you," then we will send you a bar of chocolate. The first two that send us something good will get sent a bar of chocolate. How's that?
Good dark chocolate.
Yes. In fact, it'll probably come from Alan's private stock. Don't hit me, Alan.
Absolutely. You're a little too far to hit you.
Okay.
Unless I use AT&T, you know, reach out and touch someone.
Reach out and thump somebody. There we go.
Okay.
On to this week's favorite website. The website I want to draw your attention to this week is one run by Tina Turbin. It's called Paleomazing. That's paleo, paleomazing.com. This is the site that's really the flagship for author Tina Turbin. Tina is a person whose life and work exists to promote the paleo diet, but even more, she promotes and encourages solutions for people suffering with celiac disease. Obviously, the best way for you to find out about all the different things you can see on the site is to visit it yourself. But just to give you a little idea about what you'll find actually quite a lot. And she doesn't really hold back on giving away information either, whether it be for CrossFit and paleo, paleo for athletes, exercise and paleo, or even how diet affects your hormones. She goes in depth about the paleo diet and exactly what it is. She talks about the caveman diet, has a very useful list of paleo foods, and even paleo meal plans as well. And from time to time, there are some very tasty recipes that she gives away. Yes, you'll also find all of her books listed on the website as well. But mostly, you'll find just good, plain talking information about the paleo diet and celiac disease and how to get over it by using diet. So there you go. Tina Turbin's paleomazing.com. Well worth a visit. Wonderful. So there's some good stuff there. So that's all from us this week. We hope you've enjoyed the program. And obviously we should be back again next week with more news, views, reviews and stories to make your low-carb and paleo lifestyle that much better. Don't forget to push the like button on our Facebook page and share all of our posts with your friends. Many of the items we cover will be gone into in further detail on Low Carb Mag. And of course, you can get lots more details on the website. And if you want to get a quick link through to the Facebook page, simply go to lowcarbpaleoshow.com. So it's goodbye from me, Mark Moxham.
And au revoir tout le monde, and goodbye everybody from Chef Alain Brault.
Thanks again, bye.